and trusted Him. Our Bibles are open tonight to the book of Proverbs, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And tonight we're going to be discussing on the subject of wisdom. Wisdom. Well, I know a lot of people who are intelligent, but they may not have wisdom. Some seem to have wisdom, but we're not sure they have any common sense whatsoever. But here we're talking about the wisdom with the emphasis on the benefits and the value of following wisdom in our life. And we're talking about a discerning spirit that comes from the Lord. And so this challenge is not just for high school graduates or for college graduates, but for every child of God. It matters not how long you've been a Christian. You could be a young Christian, or you could be saved for 50 years. But God desires to use us all and to trust Him completely in every area of our life. Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Let's read that last verse, verse 13, together, may we? "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." It is possible to have wisdom and not have any perception whatsoever, not having any understanding. We realize that there are many today that are just existing. They want to enjoy life, but they're only existing. I believe strongly that the Lord desires that we have an abundant life. Amen. The Lord wants us to enjoy the journey, indeed. God wants us to have a peace that passeth all understanding and a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Only God can give us this. We find in this passage of Scripture that it's more than just existing. It's more than just enduring life. There are those that are trying to find what life is all about. They're trying to find excitement in some thrill or chill. But may I say, those people are searching. They're searching for meaning of life. I'm glad the Lord lives in my heart. And I'm glad I know the true purpose of life. It's serving the Lord. In John 10:10, the Lord speaking, He says, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And there are people who have no idea what we're talking about, and they're trying to find it in all that the world would offer. But Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." When you give all to the Lord Jesus Christ, again, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life," as I said just a moment ago, "and have it more abundantly." Oh, there's so many verses that come to my mind. Psalm 37, verse number 23, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." If you have Christ as your Savior, young people, mom and dad, as your Lord and Savior, may I say the Lord orders all of your steps, every step you have in life. For we all walk by faith and not by sight. If you had told me 40 years ago that I'd be standing here and that I would be the pastor of this church, I would say, what are you talking about? I answered a call to preach in 84, so I had not even answered a call to preach. And then, I guess I had to go 16 and 22, almost. That's, what's that, 38 years? See, I can't add. And I did graduate. And so 40 years ago, if you'd have told me I would be pastor in the church, I would have never dreamed that. Even after that, prior to 1989, I had no clue that I would even be a pastor anywhere. That's not what I set out to do. I set out just to be obedient to the Lord, just to mind the Lord. I was in sales and management and traveling, and God was blessing in unusual ways, and we thank the Lord for that. But all of that was in preparation of something greater than what I could ever imagine in my life. And so I'm very familiar with this text. I'm very familiar with the thought that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There's no goodness in me and none in any of us in this room. For there's none righteous, no, not one, but God who lives in us. And He's good. Amen. And by the way, He's good all the time. And God has a perfect plan for each of our lives, not just for these young people. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. And then he says, I will guide thee with mine eye. Matthew Henry, a commentary that we read after so much, but Matthew Henry says regarding Proverbs chapter 3 that this chapter is the most excellent book of all of the Proverbs. As you read this text, notice what verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. If Christ is going to direct my life, I must be willing to trust Him in every area of my life, to trust the Lord. And so I want to give you three or four thoughts. We find a prerequisite here if God's going to direct my life. Not just for the young people, but all of us of any age. Those of us who are dads or mama and papas, whatever the case may be. God's doing something in your life. God wants to do so much more. Would you notice the prerequisite first begins as you look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's about retaining the Word of God. It's one thing to memorize Scripture. It's another thing to retain the Word of God in our heart, to follow God's Word every day of our life. And David writes in Psalm 119, the Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. It's about hiding the Word of God. He goes on and says in Psalm 119, 105, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you think about all that is going on in this world, and there are so many questions, there's no question about it. But I want you to know God is in charge of it all. And God wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He desires again that we would put Him not just first, but He is our life completely. When we talk about seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God wants to do something in your heart and in your life. But may I say, it's not about the outward. It's not about what others see. It's about your walk with the Lord. And be reminded about the Jews in this day when Christ was walking upon this earth. He talked about the Jews and how that they had this outward appearance, but inwardly they were full of dead men's bones. He reminds us in Matthew 23, verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge their borders are their garments. The phylacteries, he's talking about the Word of God, the Scriptures, that they would place in like a little leather box, if you would, and they would fasten it with a band around their forehead that they knew the Word of God, or around their wrist, and they would try to show others how much they knew. But the Lord rebuked them for that. You see, there are people that may know the word of God. As he said, they were full of dead man's bones. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you'd like to turn with me, this is a wonderful passage of scripture. And there's so much in this book. I love the book of Deuteronomy. And he says again in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." This is where this all comes from. But you see, it's one thing to show, it's another thing to know. It's one thing, again, to let everybody else know I know Scripture, but it's another thing to allow the Scriptures that we know and that's in our heart to guide us, to lead us into all truths. Would you write these three thoughts down, especially to the graduates and to those, again, that are seeking God's will in your life? First of all, is to know the truth. Know the truth of God's Word. Not only know that this is the truth, but also love the truth. Know the truth, love the truth, and then choose the way of truth. Regardless of what logic says, regardless of what the world says, regardless of how you may be enticed to go a different direction, but keeping in mind it's about knowing the truth, loving the truth, and then follow or choose the way of truth. To retain the word of God in our heart. Notice in our text of Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Good understanding. You see, if Christ lives in you and His Word lives in you, He reminds us, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus," that we would study the Word of God to show ourself approved unto God. "A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." Once the Word of God gets in you, it changes you. Would you say amen? It will change you. Not only will it change you, but may I say, it'll get out on you. It'll start being a part of you because you're following the truth of God's Word. Others, again, can see Christ in you. Proverbs 3:4 reminds us of that again. Understanding in the sight of God and man. And so you'll not only have favor and have understanding with God, but also with man. It's by walking in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Notice, would you please, in verse 5 of Proverbs 3, it's more than just retaining the Word of God, but also relying on the Word of God. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." It's about relying or trusting in the Lord, trusting in God. What does that mean? To rest in the Lord. To rely upon Him. To depend upon God. God has never failed you yet. Amen? And He will not fail you. It's about trusting Him, believing Him, depending on Him, and fearing Him or respecting Him. Well, we've heard about the three R's, right? Reading, writing, and arithmetic. But let me give you these three R's. It's resting, relying, and respecting. Resting on the Word of God, that's trusting Him. Relying on the Word of God, that's depending on Him. And then respecting the Word of God, that's fearing of the Lord. Would you turn with me, please, in the New Testament to the book of James. The book of James, chapter number 4. As you read this passage of Scripture with me, James chapter 4, let's move down to verse number 6. The Bible says, "But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, humble. Humble yourself to the Lord or in sight of the Lord, and He shall lift thee up. I've highlighted these action words in this passage of Scripture. Verse 7, submit. Verse 7, resist. Verse 8, draw. Verse 8, cleanse. Verse 8, purify. And verse 10, humble yourself before the Lord. You see, God wants us to display Him, not us. We're witnesses read of all men. We're epistles, the Bible says. We're actually scriptures, the Word of God. And so may I say, we need to retain the Word of God to the youngest person in this room, to the oldest person in this room, to hide the Word of God in my heart that I would not sin against thee. To retain the Word of God. Oh, I'm finding it more and more every day of not just retaining the Word of God, but relying on the Word of God. Do you ever get to the place where you do not know what to do? I want you to know God wants to direct our path. Relying on the Word of God and the promises. But it's more than just retaining the Word of God and relying on the Word of God. Would you write the third one down? It's to remember and acknowledge the Word of God. Notice what we find in Proverbs again. Verse 5, we read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But notice verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Following God's way is what He desires. How many in this room desires the will of God in your life? Would you raise your hand with mine? I'd say from the youngest to the oldest in this room, we all desire the will of God in our life. We've said it so often before, you could repeat it. This preacher said it so many times. You'll never know the will of God until you do the will of God. It's about being obedient to what God has given us to do. It's knowing the will of God in our life. How do I know that, preacher? It's by following God's will. You see, if I follow God's way and I follow God's will for my life, God will direct us. Oh, we can look back, and oftentimes Marcia and I, we sit at the house or over dinner and we'll talk about, I guess old people do this. The older that we get, we look back and we talk about how fast time is flying by and oh, how it flies. But we reminisce about days gone by and we look forward to the days ahead, enjoying what God is doing now. But there are so many wonderful things that God has done in our lives. You can say the same thing. My mama would go around saying it, count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings and see all that God has done. But I want you to know, all the blessings that are past, there's still more to come. Now, the Lord desires to do something in your life. It's about following God's way, following God's will, and may I say there's something else there. It's also about following the walk of God. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians and we'll make our way back to Proverbs, I hope, before the evening's over. Ephesians chapter 5. Oh, you'll see it in this passage of Scripture. You ought to underscore them. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And what does it say? And walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He reminds us in verse number 10, Notice what he says. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. What does he say? Walk as children of light. Children of light. Notice verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. He says, and have no fellowship in verse 11 with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Notice in verse number 15, see then that you what? Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Huh. You see this? It's about knowing God, His wisdom, trusting God, following His word, following His way. But in His word, we understand that God reveals to us the will of God. for our life as we are again yielding ourselves to Him completely. There's so much in this text. It's about remembering and acknowledging the Word of God as we talk about the walk of the Lord. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and notice in verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. He reminds us here, would you write it down, not just to retain the Word of God, and rely on the Word of God and remember and acknowledge the Word of God, but also to respect the Lord. To honor the Lord is what he says in this text. Honor the Lord as a Christian. We honor the Lord with our substance. We honor the Lord by giving back to God. I've found over the years that the more that I give to the Lord, the more He blesses us. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive. Now look, you can take your $10 and spend it and not give anything to the Lord, but when you give the 10% and be obedient to the Lord, and you give even beyond that, I want you to know that $10 is going to go even farther than you thought. How many agree with me? I promise you, not too many amens, but let's try it again. The more that you give to the Lord, the more God blesses. Would you say amen? Amen. It's about being obedient to God, not only with our time, our treasure, but also our talent, giving all to the Lord. In Proverbs, again, notice what he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. To reverence the Lord, honor the Lord with thy substance. But notice what else he reminds us here in verse 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. The worst task, as I look back, that I had as a daddy was discipline our children. I got no joy out of that. Didn't really want to do it. But the Lord helped us. And there would be times when Scotty would just really be unbelievable. You know, like, did he really do that? Did he really say that? And that's when Marsha would remind me, that's your son. That's your son. And I've shared this so many times, but to the young couples and those that are listening by the way of live stream, God helped us with that. Rather than just taking the belt off like Zorro and going after him and attacking him like a lion and trying to get back at him because I was mad what he did. And sometimes we just fly off the handle. You ever do that? Now, there's a proper way. And the best way I found is for both of us just to kneel down by the bed and pray. And I can hear Scotty now praying that first time when Daddy was going to discipline. And I said, but we're going to pray first. Okay, Daddy. And I said, so let's kneel down here at the bed and you pray first. Okay, Daddy. And he'd take off praying and he's crying out for mercy. You know, he's crying. But by the time he finishes weeping and welling and slobbering all over the bed and crying, his face is red. And, you know, what's Dad going to do? Beat the tar out of him? Not at all. There's a proper way. Now, with Stacy, it was a different matter. We didn't even pray with Stacy. I know what you were saying over here. I think I do. No, God helped us with that. And we thank the Lord for the wisdom that God gave us. You see, it's not in man's wisdom, but it's God's wisdom. Aren't you glad that God just doesn't wipe us off the planet Earth because we were disobedient to the Lord? But God has a way of chastising us and bringing us to the place that we realize that we've sinned. And the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, what a loving Father that we have. And God has been so good to me. I feel over all these many years, God's been better to me than he has anyone else. But it's not about me. It's about just God, and it's about being obedient to the Lord. Regard the chastening hand of the Lord, as we read there in verse 11 and 12. And we see, lastly, if I may, the promise in life, and we see in verse number 13. The Bible says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You see, there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And wisdom, also with that, if you'll notice in this verse, there's also that understanding of what God wants to do in your life. May I say to not just the graduates in this room, and for those who are listening by the way of live stream, but to all of us, there's some benefits. There's some things that we gather. The promise in life is what we find. In Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll mark these, I'll give you seven things real quick. If you'll listen quick, I'll go quick. We see in verse 2, long life. We see in verse 4, favor in life. In verse 6, direction in life. In verse 8, health and strength in life. When he talks about the navel, he's talking about our past life, life beyond the womb. But then he talks about the navel, the present life, life as we know it in this room. And then he talks about the promised life, life beyond the tomb. So there was life beyond the womb, regardless of what others are protesting this hour. There is life at the womb. That's another message. It begins there. Life as we know it in this room is this present life. But think about the promised life. He's not only come to give us abundant life, but more importantly, that eternal life. And we're going to live on throughout all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, for those who do not know Christ, you're going to be dying in all hell and torments forever and ever and ever and ever in a place that's called hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm thankful that we have this free gift of eternal life. Long life, verse 2. Favor in life, verse 4. Direction in life, verse 6. Health and strength in life, verse 8. Prosperous life, verse 10. I'm not a name it and claim it preacher at all, but I do believe that when you have the principle understood in your own heart, in your own life, and you live accordingly, God blesses. And you cannot, I'll say it again, you cannot outgive God just by being obedient to the Lord in every area of your life. Prosperous in life, verses 10, 14, and 15 as well. You'll see it. And then look at the pleasant life, verse 13. Happy is the man, he says. Notice in verse 16, length of days in their sight. Look, he's talking about in her right hand, excuse me. Notice what he says in verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. We're talking about a pleasant life as well as a peaceful life, as you find in verse 17. And so why did you go through all of this, preacher? I want to encourage these young people. But I think every now and then we all need to be reminded. And sometimes we get in such a rut of life, and many times we just take it for granted of the supply, of the blessings, of all that God does in our life. We take it for granted. Maybe just stop for a moment and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich. And